In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Brian, did you talk to Jim Harbaugh or his agent? And if not, why not?
No, I haven't talked to Jim.
Brian, why is this?
He's coach of Michigan. Sorry.
Right, did you? He was not a consideration. You did not see him as a.
No, like I said, we're going with Matt, and I gave you the reasons why. I think go through. I didn't go talk to anybody.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Bears didn't talk to Jim Harbaugh when he was available last year.
It's just the week in the NFL, it seems, with the Chargers winning the game.
The way they won it.
In the way that they won it. With, let's face it, Monday Night Football shining a light on the Harbaugh versus Harbaugh matchup that is coming.
Sure.
Jim versus John. And it's just understandable when you have one of the bigger stories in the NFL, the resurgence of the Chargers. And why? Well, nobody here's surprised, because Jim Harbaugh was hired to be their coach. And so you have one example after another, whether it's us or
Jake Butt.
Now, Jake Butt from the Chicago Sports Network, we just talked to. Let's hear what he again had to say about playing for Jim Harbaugh when he was at Michigan.
So I don't want to rub it in, but the conversations, the feeling you guys would have waking up on a day-to-day basis if Jim Harbaugh was the coach of the Chicago Bears would be night and day from how you probably feel right now. You're not having a dude fight with the crowd against the Commanders if Jim Harbaugh is the coach. We'll start there. That's not going to happen. The other piece is look at the Chargers game last week. Like there's the fork in the road of who the Chargers were versus right. Who the Chargers are. They were up big. The Bengals come back. And if you're a Chargers fan, you're thinking, oh my God, here we go again. And then what happens? And I was listening to J.K. Dobbins talk about a clip where he knew the Bengals were going to let him score. And the right thing to do was to slide down, slide down and just let the clock run out. And he asked his center and his coach, and he said, no, they all said, go score. Go score, because communicate to the world that this is not the same old Chargers. That's what Jim does, is he instills belief. I don't know if you guys see the videos from the locker room. Jim instills belief from top down in organizations that you will win, that the page has been turned. More than anything, that's what Jim does.
We got to move on.
No, we got to move
on. How do we move on?
I don't know.
Help me move on, Mully. How do you move on from seeing everything happen for another franchise the way you envisioned it could happen for the Bears?
I can't move on.
I know. It's tough.
I must move on. I will move on.
Okay. Because in the Bears eventually, let's face it, 7 games left, barring
he doesn't move.
Unexpected turnaround, they're going to be moving on as well. And we're not coach killers, as we have said, but they're going to likely move on from Matt Eberflus. And when they do, if they do, then I wonder what kind of coach will they be pursuing next. We had the discussion about the offensive-minded guy versus the head coach who's just a leader of men, as they say. When you say that you would prefer an offensive-minded guy, I think you eliminate guys like perhaps Brian Flores and or Mike Vrabel, who was going to be available, has head coaching experience that you value. So what would your hypothetical list look like? All guys who have offensive play calling history and experience, or do they have to be somebody who leans to that side of the ball? Are you eliminating everyone who isn't an offensive-minded head coach possibility?
What am I doing if I have the job? What they do versus what I would do, probably significantly different. I just feel like the most important thing with the Bears right now is the quarterback. And I feel that all decisions in the offseason have to be quarterback-centric. Now, Does that mean there's no place for a pass rusher? No, that's not what it means. I think, though, that I would prioritize protecting the quarterback in the offseason, and I think I would try to get a weapon to help you continue to play good defense. But I think I would try to win the line of scrimmage in the offseason if it came draft time or free agency time. But when it comes to coaching time, I think I want someone that is going to be there to help the quarterback win.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. So I think that you're basically eliminating guys who would be not considered offensive-minded coaches.
I don't want to say that because I think that there are exceptions. And I think if someone had a...
Is Mike Vrabel an exception?
No, not to me.
Brian Flores, exception?
Not to me.
Okay.
But they're good coaches, and they do well. But I think that I'm looking... you talk to, you've got to talk to them about what they do with the quarterback and how they ensure it and who are they going to get in here and is it a young guy? But I mean, like, I would be interested to know. How is Bobby Slowick in front of a room?
Mm-hmm.
How is Ben Johnson in front of a room? I would do a lot of work and I would actually be working on it.
Those are two good names, and I think those are two valid names. I don't know if either one of them would be interested in taking their talents to Chicago. I don't know that either one of them would be wanting to walk into this situation. I ask you about Vrabel and Flores because those would be two of the names that would be at the top of my short list. I think Slowick and Ben Johnson would be other two names that would be on that short list. Cliff Kingsbury would be the fifth.
I mean, like I said, I'd need to do a lot of work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd need to, you know, Cliff Kingsbury is an interesting name.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to do a lot of work on it.
Previous head coaching experience.
That's what I like.
He understands Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Has a history with him. Did not get the job when he interviewed for the offensive coordinator
generally
position.
Generally speaking, his teams have faded as seasons have gone on. His offense doesn't hold up as long as you need it to. So I don't know. I don't know that he wouldn't be the answer. But I, like I said, I would generally need to do a hell of a lot of work.
Okay.
And I guess I don't trust the current group that signed off on Shane Waldron to be the
one. Why would you? What have they done to earn your trust? I mean, last offseason saying that was the most important hire of the Matt Eberflus regime and thus the Ryan Poles regime. And they hired Shane Waldron. They interviewed 9 candidates. He was the only one that got a second interview. How much would you trust that process when asked to go into the offseason and find the right guy for the next opening? That's a big one. I get it. Cynicism has been earned. That's appropriate skepticism.
You know, the New England Patriots once gave up a draft pick to get Bill Belichick as their coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was crazy. But I think that I would be willing to give up a draft pick. I would be willing to give up a number one draft pick to get the right coach in here. That's how bad it has been over the years.
Who is that?
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's not.
You mentioned him yesterday.
Yeah, well, I did because
I would not only try to sign him, I'd give up a number one pick for him.
Well, they're not trading him. My sense would be, I don't think they'd be trading their coach.
Not in the NFC.
My fantasy football scenario involved the 49ers cratering and finishing under 500, missing the playoffs, and having a messy football divorce in San Francisco. And John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan deciding to part ways. And Kyle Shanahan wanting to come back to Franklin Park where his dad grew up.
Where his father grew up.
Yeah, where his dad grew up.
Not where he did.
Not where he did, where his dad did. Yeah,
I like
it. Yeah, where his dad did. You know, kind of a Shanahan back in the Chicagoland. So that makes sense and would be a Bears dream scenario.
Except for Dustin. He wouldn't approve of that.
He would approve of that.
No,
he would approve of that the first time the Bears are scoring at a level that is much higher than the rate they're scoring at now.
Dustin, would you approve of that?
Well, maybe Robert Saleh comes with him. They reunite. I at this point, absolutely. I am 100% in. The next head coach of the Bears has to be an offensive-minded guy. We were talking about this a break or two ago. Brandon and I have been talking about this a ton, is that the guy in front of the room has got to be able to lead men. And that's the only thing I don't know about Ben Johnson.
You guys are having this conversation. You're doing your own show in there and not sharing it.
Yeah, especially when you were doing math. When you were doing math, count me out.
Wait a second.
Right, when you were doing math, count me out.
What do you mean? That wasn't riveting?
David wanted the mathematician to explain something to him.
And then we had a guy and you didn't like his explanation.
Because no.
Wait, I didn't dislike his explanation. I just thought it'd be a little bit more involved. Okay, sorry. Wow.
The only thing you have to wonder, Ben Johnson seems so obvious. Can he lead men? Bobby Slowick is the next guy. You mentioned
him.
Yes. Can he lead men? Those are the questions you have to ask yourself.
You know, Joe Brady, as a texter points out, I think we knew this. Isn't Trace Armstrong his representative? So maybe
Lincoln Riley also.
Lincoln Riley's not leaving USC.
Represented by Trace Armstrong.
But he's not leaving USC. The buyout is enormous. The impact is not as enormous.
Are you telling me that that Trace Armstrong also drafted Caleb?
Well, dun, dun, dun.
Joe Brady would be another guy that would be on my list, short list of candidates. And it turns out it probably wouldn't be that short because there's a lot of names that would come up.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski might get fired.
I'd hire him.
I hired him as the OC. I don't know about the head coach.
He might go to Philly. I mean, they could fire their head coach, and he might go to Philly. He's a Philly guy.
Yeah, he is. You're going to fire...
Philly might be the number two seed in the NFC.
Nick Sirianni might be in the Super Bowl again, crying at the national anthem.
But if they lose in the playoffs, they would still probably fire him.
That's probably true. Isn't that something?
Let's say they lose the Super Bowl. Fire him. Look at Brandon nodding.
They're not going to fire him if they get to the Super Bowl. Stefanski would be an upgrade. Yeah, a lot of names. You know what's terrible is that here we are on November 20th and anticipating another coaching search that we have been stuff we've dealt with too recently. It feels like it wasn't that long ago where we were nearing Thanksgiving and dealing with Patch.com breaking the news that Matt Nagy was gone. Remember that? It wasn't that long ago. It was a couple years ago. Now here we are again. Flusie's got to go because 4-game losing streak. Staring at 5. Staring at 6.
I thought it was like he had like a 1 in 68 million chance to have lost as many games as he's lost in the fashion in which he's lost them. 6 games in which he had a 90% or better.
That's true. That's all true.
So that's a bad mark against a guy.
So realistically, as we get ready for the Bears to get back at practice at Hallis Hall today, we're going to hear from everyone involved. We're going to get your injury report. We're going to hear from Caleb Williams.
I'm all over the injury.
We're going to hear from Matt Eberflus. What can you hear today? How much optimism is realistic that they can beat the Vikings on Sunday? Or are we all just, this is a long, slow slog toward another coaching search? Is there any hope Sunday?
Yes, there's hope on
Sunday.
Okay, why? I said that before.
Why?
Because it's a familiar opponent that you've played well before, because you're at home.
You know the Lions pretty well. You're not beating them.
Well, I believe I told you there's an opportunity to win the next 2 games. I know you think I'm insane. I'm telling you.
What do you see that means you think they're going to beat the Lions?
I think it's hard to lose the kind of games they're losing. I think it's difficult to stack losses the way they've been doing it. What makes me think they could beat the Lions is that the Lions, it's on Thanksgiving morning. It's 11:30 in Chicago, which means it's 12:30 in Detroit. It is the kind of game that the Lions may be a little too big for their britches.
Okay.
They may feel like that game's already won, and we'll see what happens. I mean, if the Bears do win against Minnesota, I would imagine the Lions would take notice. But it's a short week. I mean, weird things happen in the NFL. As I've said to you several times, it is a week-to-week league where games are decided in weird fashion and teams win and teams lose, and you see upsets all the time. But I'm not predicting they're going to win the next 2 games. I hope they show the sort of desperation that the coach should be feeling and other people in Hallis Hall should be feeling.
I know they lost the game on Sunday, but I also wonder how much more that they lost confidence in their coach, meaning the players and the Bears.
Good question.
The fact that you count on certain things when you are a player, and one of them is to be put in the best position to succeed. That's all players want from their coach, their coaches, whether it's a position coach or offensive coordinator or your head coach. Make me better.
They were in a position to succeed, and they failed.
Okay.
That happened.
It did.
Okay, they scored 19 points. You need more. Now, hey, listen, they should have had 22. They should have won the game because it took like a weird circumstance for them to lose. You're not going to get field goals blocked at the end of every game. And most teams are going to be able to figure out how to get that done. Now, unfortunately, and it is unfortunate, they lost that game, but they played well enough to win it.
What?
Do you agree or disagree that they played well enough to beat the
Packers? Oh, I think they did. I think it means nothing.
If they've lost 11 straight to them, how could they actually be in the game against them? These are division rivalry games. They're coming to your place. The crowd's on your side. I get it. They've been finding a way to, step on their feet.
But what you're suggesting, though, is that there's some type of carryover or momentum from week to week. And I don't know that the Bears, because they played well against the Packers, are going to play well against the Vikings, because I don't have that kind of faith in their personnel, in their commitment, in their culture.
I look at the Vikings and I see a team that was playing significantly better at the beginning of the year than they are right now, especially on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is carrying them of late. I think that there is a path to victory for the Bears on Sunday. I'm not predicting they're going to win. We're going to make our picks later in the week, and I'm going to need every ounce of information, every minute that is available.
Will your Friday prediction be the same as your Sunday prediction?
I've only changed a couple times, but I haven't, you are forcing me to make my pick on Friday.
I'm not forcing you to do anything. I don't program
the show. I wanted to change my pick.
Yeah.
And unfortunately I couldn't because I had already made a prediction.
Yeah, I know. Things change at the injury report.
But I've only lost two games. Which
what are you looking
good.
For most on today's injury report? Which will be the thing that will tell
guide
you the most?
Honestly, I want to know the status of Montez Sweat, among others. I just want to know.
Status dormant.
Well, I mean, he has been.
He's been pretty dormant.
If he is not on the injury list, and if you feel like he's back and ready to go, That's to me a real positive. If he's on the injury list, even if he's limited, that's not a good thing to me. I also want to know what's going on with Elijah Hicks. I'm curious to know that if they signed a safety yesterday that might have to play in that game.
Yeah, let's update people because they signed Adrian Colbert, the star of Hard Knocks.
Adrian Colbert, if you watched Hard Knocks, you will remember that Ryan Poles got very emotional when he cut him. I believe he shed a tear.
He did.
And cut
him. They hugged.
They did hug
him.
He
had a bike accident as a kid, overcame that.
Yes.
Very likable journeyman in the NFL.
Yes.
And he has not been on a team that I'm aware of this season, so now he's back with the Bears.
Right.
Signed to perhaps play a significant role Sunday.
Well, I mean,
Owens could also play.
Yeah. There's another guy. Who's the other guy? They got another safety up there. Hold on a second. Sorry.
But Adrian Colbert is back in the fold, and so the expectation would be that Hicks could miss a little bit. But today,
I hope not.
The injury report will give us a little bit more indication.
We'll get a better feel.
Tevin Jenkins coming back is a big deal, I think, for the injury report.
I mean, here's the problem with
Tevin. Don't use my words against me.
I'm not using them against you. We feel like he will start.
We don't know if he will finish.
That's the problem.
That's the thing with Tevin Jenkins.
And I don't say that as like being a funny guy. I just, it's a legitimate concern.
When I said it, I wasn't trying to be funny either. It's just the reality of it. You feel okay about him starting, but you just don't know if he's going to finish. That's all. He's a starting pitcher, essentially. He'd give you five innings, five and dive. That's Tevin Jenkins.
Wow. That's a rough one. So I want to, if the offensive line could get a little bit better, that would be great. It was good to see Braxton Jones make a hell of a block on a touchdown run. That
you
was
know how
great.
Much he can improve his perception around the league and in Chicago, if he has one more of those blocks in the open field, you'll forget quickly about how vulnerable he has been at times protecting the blind side of Caleb Williams. Because in straight up pass blocking, I don't know if he's as good as he is when he is in space, as they say.
Tarvarius Moore is the other safety that's on this.
He played the other day.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you closed that loop. I was wondering.
Yeah. All right. We got to close this segment.
And we're going to close it by giving our listeners a chance to be the sixth caller to the course contest line, 312-540-0670. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Tyler Childers at the Alpine Music Theater next July. 312-540-0670. What are you whispering?
Free. 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 We're giving away something.
We're giving away stuff. Yeah. It's a great giveaway.
Yeah.
Call the scores contest line.
Do it now. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Tough time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Times don't last, but tough people do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score.
That stuff doesn't bother me. Like it bothers
I know it doesn't.
I love
it. You were like, you were Mr. Hits principal. make it simple for the player to understand.
Let me just say this, confession. This is a confession. It's not exactly news, but like, I love football coaches.
I know you do.
I love what they represent. I love how they're wired. That stuff doesn't bother me.
I love football coaches too. I have no problem with it. I don't.
I know.
I don't get. I mean, but I do think that sometimes that sort of stuff is just a little too. I don't know.
It's not what you want the focus to be, even though that's what their focus probably is always going to be.
Yes,
you want. It's understandable. It's definitely the disconnect is understandable. Speaking of coaching staffs,
please,
before we get to the phone calls, real quick, I think it's worth revisiting or reminding people, if they didn't know, what the White Sox did yesterday, because I think that's a very interesting move. And what they're doing is intentional, and what they are doing is, I think, encouraging.
I
want to be encouraged.
I was very positive. We talked about this in the Pick Six, and I was very positive to the point where a couple of my friends texted me and made fun of me for being as positive as I was. But they've signed, they've added Walker McKinven as their bench coach. And this is a first-time bench coach to go along with their first-time manager. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes in those relationships, you would want like a grizzly veteran sitting next to the young coach. So you've got – and now you got a young manager and you got a young bench coach. But I like it. I like it a lot.
He's a 35-year-old – guy
for a team like the White Sox.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. He's a local guy, made good, and he's coming home. He's going to the. He grew up on the North Shore, right?
Evanston went to New Trier.
Went to New Trier. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there are 21 high schools in the country. I learned this in the elevator this morning. There are 21 high schools in the country that regularly send students to Harvard. And 12 of them are private schools, and 9 of them are public schools, and one of the 9 is New Trier in Winnetka.
Did not realize that.
Yeah.
Really didn't realize that. So
trying to help you.
Walker McKinven is a graduate of New Trier. He's a bright guy.
You can tell from looking at his interviews.
So he was probably, I know this has nothing to do with anything,
yes,
but he was probably in high school at New Trier in Winnetka.
Yes.
When the White Sox won the World Series. But Will Matt, but he's from Winnetka. He lives in Winnetka. And he might have been in the neighborhood. Was he in the same neighborhood as Rick Hahn?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, probably.
He probably knows Rick Hahn.
Rick's from there.
When he was in high school when the Sox won the World Series.
Wow.
Maybe that had something to do with him coming from the Brewers because
let's think about that. He was in high school.
Yeah, I know.
When the White Sox were in the World Series.
Well, he's 35. Wow. It was a long time ago now.
He was he probably played for Mike Napoleon then. Isn't he the baseball coach, longtime baseball coach at New Trier? I believe he started years and years ago at Quigley South.
A lot of local ties. You could understand why he would come back. So he spent the last 9 years in the Brewers organization, worked with and for Craig Counsell, most recently Pat Murphy. He was involved in the development of William Contreras. He's a catching defense expert, reputedly. And you think that he's going to make an impact on the young White Sox catchers by design, correct? Mm-hmm. And you wonder if this is a lean or a nod toward analytics. The White Sox now have a first-time manager who's 41 years old. They've got a bench coach who's 35 and never done the job before. They've got a director of hitting in Ryan Fuller, who's a former English teacher. You've got to love that. I mean, come on. You've got to love that.
I mean, you know that I like all this stuff.
Not only can the Sox hit with runners in scoring position, but they can diagram sentences.
And they can quote Shakespeare.
So things are heading in the right direction. I don't care what your friends are texting you.
It's pretty funny.
This is encouraging.
I get killed.
So that was news yesterday. Also, the Cubs made a little news. I was very surprised.
Mike Napoleon, by the way, once an assistant to Billy Bonk at Quigley South. Billy Bonk once gave me a Saturday jog because I walked across the gym floor and he felt that I was acting like I owned the joint because we were going downstate to soccer.
Okay, forget about the Cubs. That can wait.
There's a lot of issues. I gotta get.
You need to whiteboard this for us.
All right,
okay.
All right.
You went to Quigley South. Billy Bonk. Tell me
I got a jog. I got a Saturday jog. A jog is, judgment under God. If you did something wrong, they make you show up early and shovel snow. A Saturday jog means you gotta go to an old folks' home and help people. It's like you gotta work 3 hours on a Saturday. I got a Saturday from Billy.
That must have been pretty bad.
What did you do
to warrant that?
I walked across the gym in my cleats on my way out to the soccer field.
That's an egregious error.
It wasn't.
Mental mistake.
I just own it. I wasn't owning anything. I was just walking down to practice. And unfortunately, he wasn't going downstate and we were, so he gave me a Saturday.
Oh, so you think it was that? He was bitter.
And I talked to my coach, Bob Peckloff. I went to him hey, what's it? And he laughed and he's like, he got you. And I was like, I didn't do anything really wrong. I was just trying to go to practice.
I love it. Okay.
Anyway, the other door had been locked. I had to just cut through.
Oh, excuses.
Oh, my God.
You sound like a teenager.
You know how some things happen in your childhood and you just can't get over it?
Yes.
And then here you are as an elderly gentleman and you're completely time-traveling.
You're not over it.
Anyway, clearly. I got through it.
Back to the Cubs. So they made news. I was surprised that they designated Albert Alzolay for assignment. I haven't talked to enough people around to know what that exactly will mean for his future. He now is rehabbing from Tommy John surgery. Does this mean he's coming back to the Cubs in a different designation or capacity? Does this mean the Cubs no longer have anything to do with his rehab? Are other teams interested? Because he's not going to be back on the mound until late 2025. So that was one of the moves they made. The other
was
Brennan Davis, no longer part of the organization, once the 14th rated prospect in baseball.
That hurts.
It does.
It's a bummer because the guy never, there are so many great stories about him, his background, his father who he's estranged with and all that stuff.
Reggie Theus.
It's just tough to think, I feel like you were waiting for him as this great Chicago story for years and years, and then it never came to fruition, and I don't know.
Is there a lesson there for the Cubs?
I thought even last year he might be brought
up. I thought so, too. He had some back issues and some injuries he was not able to overcome. Is there a takeaway from that if you're the Cubs because of the way that you do love your prospects.
And you got eight of them.
And you've got a lot
eight
of them now.
Eight of the top 100. Yep.
And do you look at the Brennan Davis experience as an example of why you shouldn't necessarily cling to this hope or potential? Maybe you should get rid of these guys if you can get some trades made and unload prospects that people want.
You know, I look at Yoan Moncada, who was once the number one prospect in baseball, and the Sox have, you know, they're paying him to go away. I know the Yankees supposedly are interested.
Is that right?
A second baseman.
I didn't see that.
They need some defensive help in the infield.
Well, I thought you said they were interested in Moncada.
Moncada.
How does that give them defensive help at second base?
Well, because he has played third base, and he's a good defensive third baseman, and he's played second base.
Wouldn't his range be really limited at second base?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I read.
Okay. Interesting.
Talking about
it. Nonetheless, your point being that
prospects
will disappoint you.
Well, prospects aren't necessarily – even the highest-rated ones are not assured anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I think that if you rely too much on that, you can stumble in the, you know, when the guy, and it's unfair, you know, you see a young player and you see what he can do, and then you start getting caught up, and wow, you know, look at this guy's going to be Cal Ripken, and then he slows down or something goes wrong and it doesn't happen, not naming names, and you just get kind of, you know, disappointed as a baseball fan. I'm sure there's a lot of people who were disappointed that Brennan Davis is out of the organization
now. I definitely think some people are disappointed because of the hopes that were invested in him, but I don't know if his issues make me feel differently about Matt Shaw or Owen Casey or Kevin Alcantara or Robbie Triano. Or no, it's Triantos.
See? Robbie Triano?
No, it's not Robbie Triano.
No. There is a Triano.
The Cubs have a Triantos. Look at Dustin's look on his face.
Yeah.
It's fun to see if you're still paying attention. Triantos.
His head popped up when he found out Robbie's after his job.
James Triantos is the Cub prospect. And I don't know if they're going to be approaching it differently this winter. We don't know what the Cubs are going to do. We don't know how active they're going to be in free agency.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're going to be active in the trade market. Or whether this is going to have any effect on anything. But be curious to see how this offseason goes. One more thing I want to get to, because you brought it up earlier, and I looked it up. Remember when you mentioned Patrick Williams?
Yes.
He's missed 5 of 7 dunks this year.
I was saying his percentage isn't great on dunks. I'm just saying.
How is that possible?
I don't know. He's a pretty good player.
What do you attribute that to?
You know, maybe trying to dunk on the wrong guy. I don't know. Maybe being too confident.
I don't know how you're 6'8 and the kind of athlete that he is and you miss 5 of 7 dunks.
No, hand the ball to Vooch because he can slam those down. He's a wider, stronger guy, taller.
Vooch would rather shoot the three.
Yeah.
And hit the three.
Yes.
Anyway, closing a lot of loops here.
Yeah, we're closing loops all over. Catching a lot of grief on the text line.
Are we?
No, I am. Not you.
You monitor that pretty closely. I'm not. I need to do a better job. I'm owning that. Unlike that, you own. You're not owning your mistake as a teen. I'm owning that.
Okay. All right. I mean, whatever. Did I make a mistake when I was a teen? I probably made a lot of mistakes. And I feel bad about every one of them, but that's more one that
A5A's really making you feel bad. Cleats on the gym floor is unforgivable.
That's what I saw. Hurts.
Unforgivable. Oh, man.
Here we go. There's the texter. Moncada is no Colas. I don't think he was ever – I don't think Colas ever had – I mean, he's Cuban Otani, so I suppose that term is a problem. But I don't think he was ever the top prospect in the minor leagues, right? Maybe in Japan.
Maybe so.
All right. We got a couple of callers who want to close out of the loop, too. Let's get to Chicago Johnny. He's in Vegas. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. I got to tell you, it's 1 week away from Thanksgiving, and you guys are wasting 15 minutes talking about the Cubs and White Sox when we got many problems to talk about the Bears. But that's not why I called. But I mean, what are you wasting time talking about? Talk to us about that in March.
Johnny,
right?
We've been on the air since 5:30.
We follow the news wherever it takes us. We got news. There is news here about the White Sox, and we're sharing it with you and the Cubs. We have news. The Bulls play on Friday. They'll have a red floor. You don't expect us to tell people?
Yes, we got to tell people. But you have a name for the head coaching position that is not yet open. What do you think, Johnny?
Okay, here's what I called. Here's what I want. Now, I'm going to mention, I want to recommend a coaching name. And please don't hang up on me when I mention the name.
We don't hang up on anybody.
Never.
I want to hear your
only
your
Green
input.
Bay fans. They have
and games. Then I have a present for you guys.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. First of all, how come nobody is mentioning the name Mike McCarthy?
Oh no,
still has a job.
I don't think you want to go in that direction. Why do you like Mike McCarthy?
Anybody is better than Eberflus.
Okay, that's a different argument. I think Mike McCarthy on his third job, even though he has had success at Dallas during the regular season, I think maybe that's not the direction you want to head.
And Johnny, with a lesson for all corners, all callers, the way to not get hung up on is promise us a gift.
What's the gift, Johnny?
Gift for you guys. Now, you guys ever been to Las Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? We
all right,
spent
now,
our weekend.
I'm Vegas Hall.
Have you ever been to Fremont Street?
Yes.
Circa Resort and right. Casino.
We party there all the time.
Have you ever been to Circa Casino?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
They're sponsors.
Oh, okay. So you know what that's all about. Have you ever been to the Bob Museum?
Let's get to the point here, Johnny.
The Bob?
No.
B-O-B?
Mob. M-O-B.
Oh, Mob.
Oh.
Yeah. I am the greeter there.
Ah, all right,
I work
John.
There. If you guys come there, I'll be more than happy to take care of your entrance fee, and I will be your personal tour guide, and you won't believe what you're going to see in there. It's absolutely fantastic.
Johnny, thanks so much
Excellent,
for the offer.
Excellent, Johnny. Thank you, buddy.
We'll remember
we'll
that.
We'll look you up.
If we ever get back to Vegas.
I really thought he was going to threaten our lives there when he told us he was working at the Mob Museum.
I thought so, too.
I didn't know where that was going to go, but that seemed entrance fee seems like much better than I was expecting.
Wow. That was a long walk for a short drink.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mind went dark there. That's all I'm
sure
saying.
Did.
Mainly because Shad's on the south side. We'll close out with Shad. Hey, buddy.
What's going on, Mully? I'm pretty sure that was Shane Waldron's nephew. Anyway, I want to get to a really quick point. I know y'all talked about a lot of coaches and one profile from my head coach candidate, Mully. I know you've been doing your best to try to water the optimism for David using your own Kevin Warren analogies. Rex Ryan, a guy that understands Chicago, a guy that understands defense, understands the window right now, has had a quarterback from USC, rookie, went to an AFC title game, has had time away to establish his connections throughout the league, sit back and watch how his defense, which is a 3-4 scheme, which right now they have the personnel to go to. I would really look in, even I know we're looking at offensive guys, based on the fact that Caleb, I think, is going to reach to a point where coaching isn't going to matter as much for him. Having somebody that can completely control the entire operations of football on game day, not having to worry about Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, in terms of who to cut, who to set the roster on, what's the importance in terms of position and priority. Rex Ryan has the expertise based on lineage and understanding of this city and that infrastructure up there to be a perfect candidate right now. I want to see what y'all thought on that, man.
Thanks, Shad. Thanks.
I don't like the idea because I don't think he helps Caleb Williams reach his potential.
I would worry that he's too familiar with defeat.
But
we got
right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to see the B96B Bash at the Salt Shed at December 12th, 312-540-0670.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to our colleagues next. Mully and Haw, Score.